Millions of parents trust the YouTube personality Ms. Rachel because they assume she exercises care before repeating extraordinary claims and that allegations of the gravest kind that she shares have already been carefully vetted. On June 26, Ms. Rachel amplified a United Nations Committee report accusing Israel of deliberately targeting children as part of a purported genocidal campaign in Gaza. Such allegations represent some of the most serious charges recognized in international law. Yet they were presented to millions not as disputed conclusions dependent on highly contested claims and methodology, but as established fact. The speed with which allegations like this spread reflects a deeper problem: confirmation bias coupled with institutional amplification. When claims align with what a person is already inclined to believe, skepticism often gives way to immediacy. Influencers, journalists, celebrities, and policymakers can become accelerants, not because they independently verified the evidence, but because the allegations appear stamped with institutional authority. That confidence is often sustained by a phenomenon called the citation cascade. One of the least appreciated features of today's information environment is how easily repetition creates the appearance of independent corroboration. Advocacy organizations, including those with connections to terrorist groups like Hamas, such as Euromed, gather allegations. International bodies elevate them, media outlets report them, public figures, like Ms. Rachel, amplify them. Politicians cite them, the original advocacy groups then point back to the resulting coverage as proof that their claims have been independently validated. By the end of the process, what began as a disputed allegation can appear to have been independently confirmed multiple times, when the same exact claim is merely echoing through different institutions. This process does not require conspiracy or even bad faith. It depends on something much more common: the assumption that someone else has already done the hard work of verification. That assumption becomes especially consequential when applied to Israel, where inflammatory allegations routinely achieve global reach and moral weight before the underlying evidence receives sustained scrutiny. History offers a cautionary lesson. False accusations against Jews did not spread because populations carefully examined the facts. They spread because trusted authorities conferred legitimacy on claims few people had the capacity, or inclination, to investigate. The institutions have changed, the human tendency has not. That is why methodology matters as much as conclusions. Recent UN reports advancing severe accusations against Israel have been criticized by military law scholars, policy experts, and watchdog organizations for omitting key battlefield context, minimizing Hamas's systematic use of civilian infrastructure, and relying heavily on sources that cannot establish intent, the central requirement for allegations such as genocide. Even the underlying data remains severely contested. Casualty figures from Hamas-controlled authorities have undergone multiple revisions involving identities, ages, genders, and classifications of the deceased. Hamas' documented use of minors in military capacities further complicates demographic analysis, yet this context often disappears once headline figures circulate globally. But they go directly to the credibility of the conclusions being presented. The report Ms. Rachel recently amplified to millions provides a useful example. The report focuses heavily on the allegation that Israel has deliberately targeted children. Let us set aside the legal arguments for a moment and ask a basic prosecutorial question. Do the numbers support the accusation? Genocide is not merely a moral accusation, it is a factual and legal claim. If children were being systematically targeted, one would logically expect them to be overrepresented among fatalities relative to their share of the overall population. Yet even figures originating from Hamas-controlled sources do not demonstrate such a pattern. More importantly, there is a glaring inconsistency that deserves explanation. Within days of the beginning of the war, a United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs, OCHA, report placed Gaza's school-age population at approximately 625,000 children. Yet a September 2025 UNRWA report cited approximately 660,000 students in Gaza, roughly 35,000 more than at the outset of the conflict. How can the same UN system allege that Israel conducted a two-year, genocidal, campaign targeting children while also reporting a larger school-age population than existed at the outset of the conflict? This is an evidentiary question, not a political one. Nor can the discrepancy be explained by wartime births. We are discussing students, not newborns, and children born after October 2023 do not become school-age within such a short period. As has routinely been the case with UN and NGO reports or claims attacking Israel, basic math and logic do not appear to support the rhetoric. None of this proves that Gazan children have not suffered during the war. Tragically, many have, and every civilian death deserves scrutiny. But genocide accusations require more than tragic outcomes. They require compelling evidence of intent. If not, then the Allied bombings of Germany during World War II, which killed approximately 80,000 German children, would support a claim of genocide and the deliberate targeting of children. The point is not that civilian deaths are irrelevant. The point is that outcomes alone cannot prove intent. That is why genocide or even war crimes allegations require rigorous evidence rather than emotional inference. And when demographic data produced within the same institutional ecosystem appears to contradict claims of systematic child targeting, skepticism becomes not only reasonable but necessary. Yet this is precisely where the citation cascade is most dangerous. Once an institution as influential as the United Nations publishes a report, media, influencers and activists amplify it, and before long the conclusion itself is treated as evidence. Far fewer people examine sourcing, methodology, contradictory data points or unresolved questions. Serious journalism requires skepticism toward all powerful institutions, governmental, academic, corporate and international alike. Institutional prestige is not evidence. Repetition is not corroboration. Five organizations repeating the same allegation do not constitute five independent confirmations. Daniel Patrick Moynihan famously observed that everyone is entitled to his own opinion, but not his own facts. Today, we risk reversing that principle. Institutional consensus is increasingly mistaken for independently established fact. That concern is particularly relevant given long-standing criticisms of some UN bodies for disproportionate focus on Israel and inconsistent standards. One need not accept every criticism to recognize the broader point. When institutions with documented vulnerabilities produce reports carrying extraordinary consequences, caution should increase rather than disappear. Otherwise, the risk is not merely error. It is systemic distortion. None of this places Israel beyond scrutiny. Democracies should be investigated. Their actions should be questioned. Mistakes and misconduct should be exposed wherever evidence warrants. But accountability worthy of a democratic society begins with evidentiary discipline, corroboration, transparency, context and standards proportional to the gravity of the accusation. Ultimately, the citation cascade blurs the distinction between what has been proven and what has merely been repeated, between evidence and endorsement, verification and assumption. When someone with the reach and credibility of Ms. Rachel presents allegations of the highest gravity to millions, the implicit message is powerful. This must already be true. That sense of certainty is precisely what the citation cascade manufactures, giving contested claims the weight of consensus. And if institutional authority combined with repetition becomes a substitute for proof, we lose the habit of asking the most important question of all. Was the claim ever credibly verified in the first place? Micah Danzig is an attorney, former IDF soldier, and former NYPD officer. He writes widely on Israel, Zionism, anti-Semitism, and Jewish history. He serves on the board of Harut North America.